In this Friday edition, I talk with the new Klamath Trinity Joint Unified School District Superintendent, Jennifer Gluck, about the plan to reopen schools this fall.
Latest and greatest is in terms of public health guidance, but we think we got a plan. So,
well, that's what I was calling you about. Find out, well, what is the plan? And
So we're kind of have a sigh of relief. You know, nothing is going to be perfect. We know that it's not going to meet everybody's needs, but based on what we do know. School will start on August 20th for students, just as was the calendar that was adopted probably back in February. And then we're going to start with 6 weeks of distance learning, have that time to, you know, assess, and then we're going to kind of go in six-week chunks because, you know, the backstory is we were really looking forward to getting kids back on campus, and then we just have this, you know, wave that's happening again statewide, and, you know, countywide there's definitely increases. So we're going on the more conservative route. So we'll have 6 weeks of distance learning, which would be a combination of, you know, electronic platform and, you know, real paper books and things like that. Then we'll assess and see if the next 6 weeks, if we're able to send kids back to campus or if we have to continue with a exclusively distance learning model.
The online learning, that's what you're calling distance learning.
And we're calling it distance learning rather than online learning because it's going to be a combination of things that kids will do. You know, and we know that a number of kids in the district do not have internet access, so we can't launch a fully digital platform. It has to be a combination of, you know, digital tools. There's so many good things. There's so much development that has happened with curriculum for students in the electronic format. But, you know, for kids that don't have access to the internet, it doesn't really do them any good. So we have a couple of things we're going to explore to mitigate that. Well, one is to, you know, give kids actual books and worksheets and things like that that are really planned out to meet their needs. And then we're really working on how to make sure that students have devices. We're going to look into what kinds of hotspots are available throughout the district so that if a kid does not have good internet service at home, that, you know, they can still access that. And then, you know, and we'll have teach. Basically, our plan is, you know, to the best of our ability, have a teacher in touch with every kid every day. And whether that's through a Google Meet or a Zoom meeting or a phone call or texting, but just having that, you know, contact so that we can both teach kids and then, you know, be kind of like consultants with parents, because we know that this is a huge, huge undertaking for parents and families.
How do you think that it's going to be coordinated at the home site?
We did one survey just to kind of get a general idea and interest and see where everybody's at. And then I do think it's going to be pretty individualized in terms of coming up with learning plans because, like I said, so a fourth grader that has full internet access will have some different options than a fourth grader that does not have internet. But what we would like to do, and this is, you know, so that we kind of breathed a sigh of relief when we were like, okay, we're going to focus on distance learning, and one of the reasons we're going to do that exclusively for starters is so that we really get it right, so that we really can focus on coordinating that instead of doing too many things like coordinating some kids coming to school. And so I think we're going to be like less is more. We're going to look at like that first week of school, really, really emphasizing exactly what you talked about, an orientation. So that we're giving assistance to families who, you know, getting their technology needs met, teaching them how to use certain platforms. You know, we're going to have everyone from like how to turn on the computer to how to do something, you know, really, really advanced. So We have stepped back, and every step of the way, the staff has said, how are we going to bring the kids in that don't have the support at home, or their parents and their families want to give them the support, but, you know, we're asking them to do another job. So we have teachers, aides, outreach consultants that will be available for families to meet with, and meeting with them can be a phone call. It could be, you know, some of these digital platforms. It's going to be a pretty massive scheduling in terms of, but I think we're going to really dedicate a lot of time to family support,
these
really
helpers,
into the curriculum.
Are all these helpers that you're talking about on staff already?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so you're dividing up people's times. And
yeah, so so for example, at the high school, I think that's really where we had to start, you know, because the high school is the place where we're bringing kids. If they come to the site, they're coming in from all over the district. So it's kind of the worst model in terms of public health, because public health is saying you got to put kids in cohorts and keep them, you know, kind of geographically isolated. And so the high school is where we mix kids. So we said, okay, what are we going to do there? So they'll be assigned a homeroom teacher who will be responsible for, you know, reaching out to the students, family, and kind of, you know, keep facilitating all of the logistical needs. And then the student will have three courses. We're going to move into block scheduling. So that's it. Like I said, less is more. So maybe they will have their English 2 class, their geometry, and their chemistry class. And it's going to look a little bit more like the college model, where you have more in-depth. And that way students don't have to keep track of so many classes and so much material. So we're going to block things out. So have, instead of the typical 7-period day, they're going to have 3 periods plus a homeroom. And then they'll switch up. So there is a lot of coordinating. And again, I think that initial, like the heavy lifting, is going to be at the beginning. The other part is we're really asking families to make sure that they're communicating to their, you know, if a family is really in touch with the school district and they know of another family that maybe falls off of the school's radar, or school falls off their radar, to, you know, reach out and be good neighbors and be like, hey, call the school, email your teacher, because that's the best way that we can help if you know, we know what's going on.
So there's going to be like a good neighbor type of a thing where people help one another.
Yes, but you have to do it without actually physically going to their house, unless it's somebody you're already, that's in your social cluster. So this week when we have the community meetings, we're hoping that we can kind of, you know, convey that message of, you know, word of mouth goes far. You know, that's how a lot of information gets passed. So, you know, school starts August 20th. It's going to look different than it did in the spring. In the spring, there was kind of this, you know, what we call the hold harmless. So it was maybe perceived, and also just it was so quick. It came on so fast. It was maybe perceived by some people as being more like school enrichment. But, you know, this is the way school is being run this year, lots of places in the country. So I think that if we can help people get word of mouth and have a positive school culture and a positive outlook, like, hey, we're going to offer school in really difficult times. Please take advantage of it. And we will support parents. That's something that I feel like I've really heard from the staff being very, very committed. I'm not, you know, parents and any family members that are supporting kids.
How are you proposing to have to hold these community meetings?
We are going to have them, right, currently we're going to have them on Zoom meetings. So we've had, you know, this week we're going to do them site-based, like for each school, rather than doing a big district meeting, because we thought, oh boy, that'll be really big and people might not get a chance to ask their questions. And so we're going to, you know, do them. Tonight is Captain John and Hoopa High are going to be combined. And the thing is that with the Zoom meetings, you know, it does require a pretty robust bandwidth to be able to capture a video conference, but there is an option for people to call in.
Yes, yeah. I use that quite often, because if you get too many people on that call, and a Zoom call, it's senseless to try to keep the video going.
We turn the video off a lot, and we know it's imperfect. We understand that, and so I think that's another, you know, plea for please, you know, support one another. And I think that what I have heard from the district staff is they've been very reflective about what went well and what didn't go so well when the shutdown, you know, because the shutdown in the spring was so sudden. So I think they're really utilizing that experience to build a better plan.
And they're talking about the coordination of how to get people together, because I still don't understand how we're going to maintain the spreading of the possible spreading of or the virus.
So wait, can you so for right now, you know, it's going to be all, you know, we're going to ask teachers to reach out. Of course, you know, if a teacher has, they can reach the most children if the kids have internet access and they can hold a Zoom meeting, for example. They can conduct a class. So that's one way of having a gathering that is virtual. That's going to probably be the number one, the first line of how we're going to go about things. And then for students that are not participating in those online classes with their teachers, we're going to ask for either teachers or outreach to phone. You know, sometimes kids are texting their teachers because they miss school and they miss their teachers. So, yeah, we won't have any physical gatherings of people. We'll see 6 weeks after school starts, like what, you know, if some of the restrictions have been lifted. We'll see how many cases there are locally and in the county. Does that answer your question?
Yes, or am I I'm getting a better sense of it now, yes.
There will be some, I mean, if we have the allowance, if we have permission from OES, which, you know, right now we don't, but we haven't really proposed this to them. We also would continue with our nutrition program. And what we are hoping to do is be able to provide breakfast and lunch 5 days a week, but we would be delivering 3 days a week. So having deliveries to certain points of breakfast and lunch on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays.
Yeah, that was happening in the last spring. Yeah,
and I know it had a couple different versions, but that is what we're proposing right now. Again, we may be, once we get it up and running, we may say, wow, this is, we really can do it every day, or we may say, oh my goodness, we can only do it 2 days a week, but that's how we're going to start it initially. Students are enrolled in one of the district's schools.
From what I heard you say, there's going to be a different order of how you do the homeroom type of a situation.
The high school teachers are so smart. They figured out this way that we can, you know, the kids will be able to get all, because we were concerned, are the kids going to get enough credits to graduate or, you know, move on to the next grade level. So basically, instead of taking, you know, they, let's say they have six classes and they take one period each day for the whole year. Instead, we're going to say take these three periods for half the year and the other three the other half the year. So they'll basically finish a course. They'll finish three courses in one semester and then do three courses the next semester rather than spreading it out over the whole year.
Oh, okay. I see.
So they'll all get the same number of credits.
But it's not going to be distance learning, or is it going to be in-person learning?
It will start out that way for sure. You know, and hopefully the high school students, you know, they're older and can work independently. They're more familiar with a lot of the online learning platforms.
Yeah, and their attention spans a little longer, too.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. So it's our kindergartners, you know, the socialization is so important for them when they're so young. And in some ways, they are the riskiest because they are all over each other all the time. And they aren't going to, you know, we're concerned about what's going to happen when you try to tell a 5, 6, 7-year-old that they can't be near their friend. You know, our high school kids, once we are able to come back to school, I think that it'll be pretty easy for them. You know, they understand what 6 feet is. They can eyeball that. But, you know, to a six-year-old, since they stay 6 feet away, they don't have any idea what that is. So we're going to have to really work hard once we do have students back on site, you know, teaching them, like, this is how school goes right now. So the first thing we'll do is have the 6 weeks where kids are not on campus. We are only doing distance learning, and we're going to spend the time saying, this is how it is to be a student in a distance learning classroom. This is when you'll turn work in, and just teaching them all kind of new procedures. And then at the end of 6 weeks, we'll either start a new six-week cycle and continue, or we'll say, hey, you know, the virus is no longer as dangerous, but we, you know, that's not up to us, of course. And we can start to bring students back, and then there'll be very strict, specific protocols and guidelines in terms of how many kids can be on campus or how many kids can be in a classroom at once. All of the hand washing, wearing of masks. So we did get from the governor that mask wearing will be mandatory for students in third grade and up.
Yes, I remember and, seeing that, yeah.
Yeah, highly recommended for kids in kindergarten, first and second grade. Required for staff all the time.
Right, right. So there's the makings of possibilities here.
Yes, yeah. And I think what I'm hearing from the instructional staff is some really good ideas so that, you know, no matter what a student's specific conditions are for their, you know, their, because now school is going to be taking place in the home, that they're going to make sure that those kids have a lot of different options for turning in work. I mean, you may have one kid who does a worksheet and another kid who completes, you know, meets the same academic standard, and they do something and they take a picture of it and they email it to their teacher, or maybe they'll complete it through one of those, the online learning platforms, so that no matter what, you know, they have access to, they're going to have the opportunity to get the work, do the work, and show that they've done the work so that they can get credit for it. So I think it is, yeah. There, I think something's going to happen. That's going to be good.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And we just ask people to be patient and, you know, give us information and let us know their needs and understand that this is new for us as well. And we really want to work in partnership with kids and families so that they have as much opportunity for learning, and that people at the school district are working really hard to roll it out. So, but now that we know we're going to start with distance learning, we really feel good about, you know, the next steps.
Okay, that's the plan, to go with district learning from the school district's point of view. So I'm looking at, well, how will the home be prepared to do that distance learning? What's criteria is going to be involved in that?
Oh, that's a really good question. I mean, basically, we can make recommendations to families in terms of optimal, you know, space for setting up learning. For example, you know, recommending, we can send home tools and we can send home materials and pencils and glue and things like that. But, you know, I think that once parents and families and teachers are talking, whether it's on the phone or through the, you know, Google meetings, we can make recommendations about, hey, it's really good if your kid has one place where they get to sit down and do their homework every night, or homework or school, you know, day school work. And we will be delivering your child's weekly materials to you every Tuesday. We'll have a schedule so that we're sending materials out to the families. It's that part is going to be tough, you know, and then we understand that there are some families whose ability to be their child's teacher is, compromised because they are trying to go to work. So that's why we're really trying to make it like it still is the school district's responsibility to provide the teachers. We're not asking parents to take it on themselves, but they, you know, if they can work with us at those beginning weeks of getting the kids set up so the kids can be as independent as possible, that will, you know, kind of be the long-term success.
Yeah, I was just thinking that it was a good opportunity to do history, culture, environmental studies, observations, science. And
absolutely. So I think with that menu that we're going to, you know, it's basically kids will have a lot of choices in terms of, you know, things that they're learning. And I think that, you know, parents that want to be, it's a great opportunity for parents and kids to work together on the schooling piece. And for parents to, you know, parents have an incredible amount of trust in schools because they drop their kids off or put them on the bus and send them to us and you know, expect that we're going to do our jobs. But now they kind of get to get a little more insight and, you know, verify what kind of standards their child is expected to learn and give it their own personal flavor. I love independent study because, you know, kids get to learn with their parents.
Yeah,
and we can, you could say like there's a particular standard that you want a child to learn, and there's a lot of ways to get there. And I think involving families, I think that it is a great opportunity. I'm glad you said that. It's a wonderful opportunity for children to use their home experience as a real positive thing and connecting it with their formal schooling.
Yeah, you can enjoy life and get credit for it. Yeah.
Yep. We're going to also try to get, you know, a lot of activities, PE activities. Maybe kids can go and, you know, try to say, hey, I got to do my 20 minutes PE and get one of their family members to go and, you know, maintain that physical activity. I think that that's been a struggle for everybody in our country is kind of keeping up our regular physical health because, you know, people that go to the gym can't go to the gym. People that go certain places, you know, because there's been restrictions, but we're going to try to give kids activities so that they can stay physically active as well.
Yeah, that's really important. Yeah. Keep that body moving.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, that's encouraging. And it's just kind of a scary thing. We've got this great record of this COVID-19 pandemic situation on hand. You know, we've been keeping the lid on it pretty well. And then part of that had to do with, well, we closed the school. And so that gave less of an opportunity for the virus to spread amongst families. So, but now with the school opening, that kind of opens that door. So yes, we've got to rethink that. How are we going to do that?
That's why we're going way conservative. We just realize, you know, it's too, you know, especially right now, because we're just seeing things rise. So we're going to stay, everybody's going to still stay at home, and we're going to reach out in whatever way we can. You know, that's why, you know, nowadays, so we have so many more options. You know, you can, I mean, boy, my, you know, kids talk about social media platforms I can't even keep up with, but, you know, Facebook is now almost an old thing, and, you know.
Right.
Kids have Snapchat and Instagram and TikTok, and, you know, there's a lot of tools and ways that they can, you know, reach out to each other. And some people still have, you know, fortunately, we still have landlines, which we can access and call. And I think that that's something that I would, again, like to just emphasize for families to realize that the schools are their hubs for, you know, being their resource centers for asking questions and you know, even if it's just, I'm having a hard time getting my child to do her work, call the teacher and ask what kinds of, you know, partnership they can embark upon to work, have kids work on that. Because I know that's another frustration that parents face. It's not only just the kind of the academic stuff, it's, you know, motivating their kid.
Yeah, that's another angle, yes.
So and the other thing for, you know, students to know is that their attendance is going to be tied to, you know, the assignments that they complete. So, for example, you know, Captain John has a great model for this, which is that's how they track kids getting credits, is, you know, the work that they turn in. So that's what we'll be expecting from kids is that they turn work in. Now, turning work in is going to look a lot different nowadays than it did when you and I were kids. Because when we were kids, it was, you know, you turned in a packet, a worksheet or a paper or an essay. And now it could be an essay, but it could be something that you type up, or it could be a video that you make, or it could be an audio recording. So could be a picture that you take and send, you know, of your work and send it, text it, email it. So I feel like that. I feel that that's incredible that we have so many applications for getting information across. We're it's kind of a really, you know, lucky time in terms of having some more flexibility.
Yeah, there's quite a few platforms out there we could take advantage of, and there'll be fewer opportunities to say the dog ate my homework.
Oh, exactly. right. The dog would have to eat the entire computer and the whole internet. So we are going to have the community meetings this week, and we encourage folks, families who have students, tune in, and we will keep frequent updates. We have a board meeting on June 30th, where that's where we're hoping to have the draft presentation about here's how school will look.
This community meeting, is it for the parents, and is it for the whole community?
People could listen in, of course, for information, but they're really designed for families who are trying to figure out where, you know, how they're going to help their kids. Of course, yes, community members can certainly listen in. We sent out surveys, and we're responding to specifically to, student needs. Parents were informed by text. They got robocalls. People had robocalls coming out their ears. But I said, but that's the way that we have to operate right now. We have to kind of err on the side of too much information rather than leaving anybody out.
Okay, well, that's about what I had for my curiosity of how things are going to be working out. So I appreciate you.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. Well, yeah, I'll have more updates. And if I, I can send you an email if something radical changes or if we have more as we get clear. I think we're just going to get clearer and clearer about what it looks like. That's the good news. Thanks for taking the time to talk to me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah, that's what we're here for. And if we carry on another conversation at another time, we can talk more about how we can help one another out here.
Okay.
Very good.
All right. Okay.
Thank you very much, Jennifer.
Thank you. Have a good afternoon.
You too.